The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are also 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing great on this very warm March day. For here in the Northeast, it is quite warm. And guess what is coming up on Saturday? I was going to say an excuse to drink. Yeah, I just saw Rich say that too. It's St. Patrick's Day, which really should not be an excuse to drink, but that's kind of what it has become known. But it certainly is a great time to wear green and eat corned beef and all that stuff. And why do we do it? You know, I never really realized how big it was, even with a name like Shannon growing up. And it was a family name. It's my grandparents' last name, my mother's maiden name. We weren't that Irish until I got to New York City. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's a big deal in New York, certainly in Boston, New York, places like that, Chicago, they turn the river green there. So it's a big deal in the United States. But is it a big deal in Ireland too? We're going to talk about everything Irish today with probably the best, most well-known Irish author there is. Patrick Taylor has written numerous amount of books. He's also a physician. He's from Ireland. I understand, I have never spoken to him, I understand he's got an excellent brogue, even though he has been away from Ireland for many years. He has written many books. He has a series of books, the Irish Country books. He has The Irish Country Village, The Irish Country Doctor, The Irish Country Girl, A Dublin Student Doctor, tons of books about Ireland. So we are going to pick his brain and enjoy his wonderful prose and learn all about Ireland, and I want to welcome Patrick Taylor to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
A bit punch drunk because I've been doing a satellite radio tour, and it started at 4:30 in the morning, my time.
Oh, your time, and you're over in all the way on the other side of this country above Seattle and Vancouver, so wow, you're like three hours.
Yes.
Yeah, you're like early in the morning. You should be drinking coffee, not beer, right?
I am drinking coffee.
Okay. And I hear that Irish brogue. You have kept that for, I'm not going to give your age, although I do know your age. You have kept that brogue for, you have left Ireland a few years ago, right? And you have been here, and you've never lost your brogue, and you have never lost your love of telling everyone about Ireland, right? I mean, it is your kind of passion to be a physician, to be a writer, and to tell everything about Ireland.
Well, you know, the adage in writing is write about what you know about.
Mm, right.
I do know about parts of Ireland, so I decided to set my characters there.
Yeah, but you set your characters in Ireland of old, not so much Ireland of new. Am I right? I mean, this is like years ago in Ireland. So, you know...
Well, they're within the series of what are now six books on the bookshelves,
Wow.
Four of them take place 64, 65... One of them, Country Girl, is the story of a young woman growing up in County Cork in the 1920s.
Mm.
And the most recent one is the central character, Dr. O'Reilly, his student days in Dublin in the 1930s.
Okay, so, well, old, I mean, comparatively it's old, but it's not that old, but certainly old enough that Ireland was a very different place then, right? I mean, was here. I mean, everything was a different place then.
Well, I forget who said it, but the past is a foreign country. They do things differently there.
Yeah. And what's Ballybuckleboo? Is that a made-up name, or is that really a place in Ireland?
That's a made-up name,
Ballybuckleboo. Okay.
It is actually, if you take it from there, Irish, it does mean something, because nearly all Irish place names do mean something. Bally is a townland, which was a sort of, probably the equivalent of a parish in Louisiana, for example. Buchile is simply boy, and bow is cow. So it's the townland of the boy's cow.
Uh-huh. And that's true that, so you made that up, but the other places that all mean something? I mean, you're from
Dublin.
Dublin?
Dublin is Duvlan. Duv, black, land, pool, the black pool.
Oh, Dublin. I never heard that. Okay.
When I was living in Ireland, I lived there for a couple of years recently. Just up the road was a place, Drum Shan Bow. And Drum is ridge, and Shan is old, and Bow is cow, the ridge of the old cow.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. What does Shannon mean? Do we have any clue, or is it just the name of
Shannon
a river?
Shannon actually means salmon.
Oh.
Last time I looked it up.
Oh, okay, salmon. Because it's a river over in Ireland. I had a friend that used to call
it's Ireland's most important river.
Mm. Yeah, no, that I've never been to Ireland. I would like to go someday. Here we have this image, I would say, of Ireland with beautiful rolling hills and lots of wonderful pubs and everybody happy drinking all the time. Is that kind of appropriate?
So. I think a lot of us have to go out to work, you know.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. And we also think the food is lousy. Is the food still lousy in Ireland?
Well, it depends how you define lousy food.
It's up to the person. If you're raised with it, it's not so lousy. It's probably wonderful.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. All those boiled potatoes. Now, the characters you write about, you are a physician, and the characters you write about, certainly the Dublin student doctor is a doctor. Do you take, are most of your characters and your plots around the medical profession?
I have a series of thrillers I wrote, but they're out of print at the moment. This particular series deals predominantly with a middle-aged doctor in the 60s. He's a young doctor in the 30s, obviously. He's actually a medical student in the 30s. He has a young partner who's also a doctor, so there are two central doctor characters in the book. In Irish Country Girl, there are no doctors around the place at all. It's a young woman growing up in County Cork. The two central characters are physicians.
Okay, and you like writing about physicians because that's something you know about. Are you currently a practicing physician or just a full-time writer?
I'm a full-time writer. I've been a full-time writer for the last 11 years.
Wow, okay, congratulations to you. Now, your books have wonderful praise. I mean, Escapist, Delightful Fun, Publishers Weekly said, this book is written with compassion and hilarity about a community whose inhabitants are as wonderful and loony as any on Earth. Maliki McCourt said that in the New York Times. So you certainly have a lot of praise. You have been on the New York Times bestseller list. Your books have really hit a chord here, and people really like them. How do we feel in general in this country, and I know you're in Canada, but in the United States and Canada, about Ireland and Irish characters? Do we tend to really, we kind of embrace them, don't we?
I think you do, and more power to your wheel. I like that. There are, after all, according to my figures, 44 million people in America of Irish descent.
That's a lot. That's an awful lot. Yeah. I guess that's why St. Patrick's Day is so big here.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also, and I just heard your weather forecast, your weather's gone mad this year, Dan.
Yes.
Normally in North America, Canada, New York, prairies, wherever, you're coming to the end of what's a fairly brutal winter. And I mean, it's a lovely excuse to go out and just have a shindig.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but, you know, it has become an excuse also to go out and get a little bit drunk. Now, you know, in Manhattan, Fifth Avenue turns into a sea of green and a big, everybody's having a pint. And, well, not anymore. They're not allowed to. But it used to be that everybody was drinking everywhere. And certainly every pub is serving some sort of green beer, corned beef and cabbage, that sort of thing. I mean, this is the traditional thing. Do they do the same thing in Ireland? Do they eat corned beef and cabbage and drink green beer?
I would doubt it very much. You know, when I was growing up in Ireland, St. Patrick's Day parade was an American thing.
Yeah.
In Ireland, it was a religious holiday, celebrating St. Patrick. In latter years, being very acutely aware of how good the tourist dollar is, in Dublin, we don't worry wasting time with St. Patrick's Day. We have St. Patrick's Week.
Oh.
And there are plays and street theater and Irish language sessions and Cayleys and music and dancing. So we had St. Patrick's Week now.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's...
And as regards green beer in Ireland, one of the best posters for Guinness was a great big rugby football forward who's the equivalent of one of your linebackers about the armor, holding a glass of Guinness in his hand with a scowl on his face, and the caption is, green beer, boy, arse.
It's definitely an American thing. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the difference between America and Ireland when it comes to St. Patrick's Day and some of your wonderful books. We are talking with writer Patrick Taylor, and we'll be back here in just a few on WTBQ.
Did you know that the Warwick Valley Dispatch is one of the few independently owned and operated papers in the country? Did you also know that the Warwick Valley Dispatch is the official newspaper of the Warwick Valley and Florida school districts, the town of Warwick, the villages of Warwick and Florida, the Warwick, Florida, and Pine Island Fire Districts, and the Albert Wisner Public Library? To advertise or subscribe to Warwick's hometown newspaper, call 986-2216 today. Read the Warwick Valley Dispatch.
The Warwick Valley Dispatch reminds everyone to vote in the Florida Greenwood Lake and Warwick Village elections on Tuesday, March 20th. Don't miss the special election issue of the Warwick Valley Dispatch, which comes out on Wednesday, March 14th. Read what the candidates have to say about issues important to your village. Get a copy of the Dispatch on your local newsstands. To subscribe or advertise in the Warwick Valley Dispatch, which has the best rates in town, call 986-2216 or email editor@wvdispatch.com.
All winter long, be sure your heating equipment is ready to kick into top gear and run efficiently with service from Suburban Propane. Suburban has been delivering warmth and comfort to homes and businesses for more than 80 years. Our local team of dedicated employees right here in the Hudson Valley works hard to continue that long tradition of warmth, safety, and reliability. Our customers take advantage of equipment and services that save money and add comfort. Suburban sells and services furnaces, boilers, water heaters, and space heaters. When you need an emergency repair, we are there 24/7, 365. For a limited time only, become a new Suburban Propane customer and receive a $50 credit toward your first fuel delivery, free installation to an existing gas line, a free safety check, and a free heating equipment service plan for 1 year. Get warm and keep warm this winter. Call Suburban Propane today at 1-800-PROPANE or go to suburbanpropane.com.
Oh la la, La Petite Cuisine offers a little bit of the best French-inspired breakfasts and lunches in Warwick. Serving croissants, pastries, omelette, crepes, daily soups, and quiche, La Petite Cuisine was voted best breakfast in the Hudson Valley and awarded Hudson Valley Salad of the Year. La Petite Cuisine looks forward to celebrating not only spring, but April in Paris. Seated at one of their terrace tables, you'll feel like you're transported to a bistro on the Champs-Élysées. Relax and bon appétit. La Petite Cuisine, 20 Railroad Avenue, Warwick. Call 988-0988.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wodka. I've been a podiatrist for over 20 years. I specialize in the medical and surgical treatment of your feet. I see patients from toddlers to seniors for all types of foot problems, including fungus toenails, infected toenails, heel pain, gait abnormalities, hammer toes, bunions, fractures, sports injuries, diabetic foot care, and much, much more. I also offer a line of Dr. Comfort shoes for diabetic patients who qualify under the Medicare program. Many problems involving your legs, knees, hips, and back may stem from a foot problem that you may or may not be aware of. Make the right call to the right doctor, a podiatrist. Call my office at 692-3338 or My2Feet for an appointment. Want to know more about foot problems and podiatry? Visit my website, www.drwodka.com.
Hi, this is Tony Abatini, your host of Game On, the first sports chalk radio show bringing you the inside scoop on improving your game. From the big leagues to little leagues, from college recruiting to strength and speed training, tune in on Fridays at 1 o'clock for Game On.
Hi, this is John Tesh. Tune in for great music and intelligence for your life Monday through Saturday starting at 4 p.m. as we assemble the tips, the facts, and the news you need to be happier, healthier, more lovable, and more fun to be around on WTBQ, radio worth listening to. WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux-Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here. And guess what Saturday is? It's St. Patrick's Day. You know, it comes around once a year. Everybody dresses in green, maybe drinks green beer, eats corned beef and cabbage, whether you are Irish or not, and has a great fun with it. But where did it come from? How long has it been here? We're talking about Ireland today, and we're talking with Patrick Taylor, who is a writer, a very successful novelist. He has written a series of books, and this is his sixth. Your sixth just came out, right? Dublin Student Doctor is your sixth in the series.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very impressive. They're published by Macmillan. And give us your website. It is on Shannon's Corner through WTBQ. But for listeners that want it right now, your website is?
www.patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K, Taylor, right. T-A-Y-L-O-R, all one word, .ca for Canada.
For Canada, yeah. That was a little surprising to me, .ca. It is on WTBQ in Shannon's Corner, so if anybody's in the car, you can get it there. Your books, you know, go back a little bit, as we spoke about before, and you're talking about Irish immigrants, and, you know, why did, you know, for... We have a bunch of immigrants here, as you said, in this country, millions of them that of Irish descent. Why did those in Ireland want to come here? And, you know, was it so much better here years ago? And they had a lot of turmoil, so it wasn't always better here. Why did people from Ireland want to come to the United States?
Well, yeah, you had a choice if you could raise the money. You could stay in Ireland and starve to death, or you could emigrate. An awful lot of
Not
Irish
much of a
people
choice.
Went to England. England too, but we had a thing called the potato famine. In 1845 to 49, 1845, the population of Ireland was 8 million people. It's only 4 million today.
Wow. There's not a lot of people in that big
country.
And
at least a million of those people came to America.
Wow.
And some of them got instant employment. They got off the boat after a hellish passage across the Atlantic. They were met by an Irish speaker who said, "Welcome to America. How would you like a full-time job and a new suit of clothes and a dollar a week?" And they said in Irish, "Wonderful, I'd like that very much." And they got a lovely navy blue suit and a leather peaked capy and a mini musket and were inducted into the Irish Brigade in the American Civil War. Straight off the boat.
Yeah, well, okay, that's a good reason to come here. But then there was a time when we didn't really want the Irish so much, didn't we? Wasn't there a time
I have a photograph at home. A photograph at home, and I won't say it all on the air, or I'll be put in jail these politically correct days, but it specifies no dogs, no African-Americans using a rather different word, and no Irish need apply.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all read about that in history books. I mean, what happened there? That we were so against the Irish, and now, of course, we embrace them and love them and celebrate, as we know, St. Patrick's Day a lot more than anybody else. But what was the sentiment back then, and why didn't we want to hire anybody Irish?
Well, it's not just Irish. When immigrants comes to the dominant culture, in the days before we had human rights codes, the natives feel threatened, particularly when the people coming in are apparently remarkably stupid. That's because the poor old Irish didn't get a chance to get an education. Spoke a foreign language. Very few Irish people spoke English in the 1840s. Many of them were lousy, and fleas were dirty. I mean, you wouldn't want one of those Irishmen in your home back then.
I guess that's true.
And then the Irish cleaned up, and the first thing they did in New York was take over the police department.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a well-known, probably not so much now, but certainly years ago, if you were Irish, you were a cop. I mean, that was one of the main professions. I don't know if
you were a cop or you weren't. I mean, everybody knows about the mafia and the Cosa Nostra. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, people like Dini O'Banion, who was Irish, had an Irish mafia that predated the Sicilians.
I didn't know that.
Capone had O'Banion wiped out in Chicago.
All right, so they weren't always so good. But certainly, certainly the Irish have a very colorful reputation. We think of them as drinkers. Is that still true? I mean, does everybody in Ireland drink too much?
No.
No. Okay, that's one of those fallacies.
But the pub was, until very recently, integral to Irish life. I heard it well described as an extension of your living room. And most people would pop into the pub. And the nice thing about the pub was it was essentially classless. I mean, there'd be a doctor having a pint with a house painter. Nobody would think anything about it in the pub, you know?
Is that still the case? Probably.
Oh, it is, but the pubs are dying because they're much more stringent drink driving laws. You know, if you have been within 100 miles of a brewery and get into a car, you're now drunk and more or less put you in jail. And the cost of drink has gone up.
Oh, okay. And Ireland is not a very rich country, is it?
Well, it was, and then the whole Celtic Tiger collapsed in the European recession. Huge debt overload. And the last time I was in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland, there were 300,000 unoccupied brand new homes.
Wow.
In a country with only 4 million people in it.
Wow. Wow. That's really something. Tell us about the character in your new book, Dublin Student Doctor.
Well, it's... I created this character, Dr. O'Reilly, and I first set him in the 1960s, so about that time he was in his mid-50s. blasphemous, irascible, short-tempered. He certainly took a drink, and he didn't seem to ever to be the worst for it. Ex-boxer, ex-rugby player, ex-Royal Navy. So I created this character. And a lot of my readers seemed to enjoy him. And it just started niggling at me what made him the man he is now in 1960s. So I went back to his 30s. And one of the things I noticed when I had finished creating him five books earlier, he was actually 4 years older than the average student would have been who'd graduated from medical school in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So where did those 4 years go? And that gave me the main dramatic tension in the book, because he wanted to be a doctor, but his father, who was a professor at Trinity College Dublin, wanted young Fingal to be a nuclear physicist. So Fingal had to raise the money to go to medical school himself. And in order to do that, he spent 3 years in the Merchant Navy and one in the Royal Navy Reserve. And that was how it came part of his backstory. And it's how it put him at 24, 25, in with a bunch of 20-year-old kids at medical school.
Uh-huh, and he's seen some life and they have not, pretty much.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love his name, Fingal Flaherty O'Reilly. I mean, that is really Irish. Is Fingal a name that anybody's ever heard before? Is it a common name?
Oh, yeah, Fingal's a very common name.
Oh.
In fact, what I did was pinch most of Oscar Wilde's names.
Oh.
He was Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde. So I call my fellow Fingal Flaherty O'Reilly.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that name, Fingal, but I guess there's a lot about Ireland most of us haven't heard. I think, you know, names change when they come over here. Fingal probably would not have stayed Fingal once you got to America years ago, right?
No.
No.
And Fingal's an Irish name. It means fair foreigner.
Uh-huh. That's right. You said everything means something in Ireland. Every name, including your made-up
O'Reilly,
town.
O'Reilly, you've heard of a life of O. Prefix O in Irish nomenclature, it either means grandson or descendant of. So if you bump into somebody called O'Neill, it means that they're Neill's grandson, all right?
Uh-huh.
The Reillys were a very, very famous mercantile family in Ireland in the Middle Ages, and they were very good with money, and it gave the expression in the English language a life of Reilly.
Right, which we assume
their surname.
Yeah. The life of Reilly here is a great life. So we assume, you know, that's why I said when we think of Irish people, we think of very happy people here. The life of O'Reilly, that means you're happy. You know, you're kind of a happy drunk. You know, St. Patrick's Day, everybody's supposed to be happy. I mean, we think of those in Ireland with very few problems and everybody's happy-go-lucky. That and boiled potatoes. So
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I mean, if you want to maintain the stereotype of the drunken Irishman, it's no different from the drunken Russian peasant. When you've nothing in your life but boiled potatoes and a damp cottage, you go and you drink. And we drank whiskey, mostly home distilled, and the Russians drank vodka. And it was exactly the same sociology.
Right. Well, and now I guess everybody drinks a little less with all the rules and all the laws. But certainly with the 36 or 37 million Americans and Canadians, or maybe even more, that are here, certainly everybody celebrates St. Patrick's Day, which is exactly what we're going to do this weekend. I guess over in Canada they celebrate it. You're in a little island in Canada, right?
Yeah, we don't really do anything on the island here.
Oh, no.
There are not too many Irish people here.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll just have to go. I'm sure you've been to New York.
Gay Pride's bigger on our island.
Oh, really? Tell us the name of the island if you want to again. It was a really charming little name.
Salt Spring Island.
Salt Spring. I had never heard of it before, but it sounds very charming. But not very Irish.
If you go to your technical department and get a GPS and a microscope, you might be able to find it.
Yeah, I kind of vaguely looked it up. I saw it was all the way over there by, you know, above Seattle. So you're all the way over there where it's very charming and very cold. And I guess there's some similarity between that and Ireland, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're very green out here,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
Yes.
We don't get snow. We get a week of snow in the winter like Ireland. And it rains a lot like Ireland.
Well, I'm sure you've been to New York on the St. Iris, you know, and the parade, and it's a wonderful day. We have to wrap it up, but I want to tell everybody, you can get the books everywhere, right? As I said, this is the sixth in the series, A Dublin Student Doctor by Patrick Taylor, published by Macmillan. They are available everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. I have your website on Shannon's Corner through WTBQ, so everybody can go there. And I thank you so much for joining us today, and I want to wish you a very happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you, Shannon, and to you.
Thank you very much, everybody. St. Patrick's Day is Saturday. Have a good one if we don't speak to you before. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.